Good afternoon. Welcome to the Eco News Report. My name is Gary Hughes from the Environmental Protection Information Center, and I'll be your host for this week's show, brought to you by KHSU and the North Coast Environmental Center. Remember, you can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under Archive Programs at khsu.org. And it is truly an honor to be here this afternoon. Thank you so much to everyone for tuning in today. I will be speaking over the next half an hour with Aaron Sanger from the organization Forest Ethics, and our goal is to provide listeners with an up-to-date understanding of forest certification schemes and what the implications are of these schemes being used by companies in our area and how it affects our community and how we relate with the national and global timber market. So, Aaron, can you give us a little bit of background about yourself and your organization, Forest Ethics?
I am director of the U.S. campaigns of Forest Ethics. It is a nonprofit environmental advocacy group that focuses on protecting endangered forests like those there in Northern California, on protecting wild places even if they don't happen to be a forest, and also working to help support the health of our climate. Our U.S. campaigns include a campaign that focuses on what can be a problem with the idea of certifying forests, which we understand to be approving certain practices in cutting forests, in cutting down trees in the forest. So if we approach the forest certification issue in that way, I think that our work that is designed to expose and to stop one of the greatest forest destruction greenwashers, the so-called sustainable forestry initiatives.
Yes, I think we'll be digging in pretty deeply into the sustainable forestry initiative with our work at EPIC at addressing forest practices here in the region. We really do believe it's imperative that community members understand forest certification schemes, the sustainable forestry initiative being an industry-supported certification scheme. But before we dig further into that, I thought a little bit more background on forest ethics would be really helpful, Aaron. When was forest ethics formed, and what exactly was the impetus for forming this organization?
Forest Ethics started in the late 1990s in a battle to protect forests in a place called Clackwat Sound, which is on Vancouver Island in British Columbia. And a big company, big logging company called Macmillan Bloedel, wanted to cut down some of the last old growth forests in intact valleys, meaning valleys that where there had not been any logging before, but these were some of the last ones on Vancouver Island. Most of Vancouver Island has been logged at least once. And we found the founders of our organization discovered that they weren't making much progress with asking the company to do the right thing. They were not making much progress with asking the government to force the company to do the right thing. And so they went to the company's customers, which were primarily in the United States. And that's true for a lot of customers of Canadian industries, especially the Canadian forest industry. So when we turned the pressure on the customers of Macmillan Bloedel, there was a telephone book published by a company called Pacific Bell, and they published a version of what used to be called the Yellow Pages, and we did some brand tweaking of that company and redesigned their slogan, and instead of asking people to let their fingers do the shopping, we told people that what Pac Bell was doing was letting their fingers do the chopping in the old-growth forests of British Columbia. And when we increased that kind of pressure on customers of Macmillan Bloedel like Pac Bell, all of a sudden Macmillan Bloedel wanted to do the right thing. And eventually, an agreement was reached to protect the last unlogged forest valleys in that place called Clackwat Sound. And at the time, we were known as the Clackwat Rainforest Coalition. We worked not by ourselves, but in coalition with a lot of other environmental groups in Canada and the United States. And over time, we used that same strategy of going to the customers that are essentially financing the forest destruction and convincing those customers to put pressure on their suppliers and so on up the supply chain so that the logger finally felt it in the pocketbook and then had the incentive to do the right thing on the ground in the forest. We've used that strategy to protect Canada's Great Bear Rainforest. We've used that strategy to protect Chile's native forest. We've used that strategy to build the foundation for protection of the world's largest intact forest, that's North America's boreal forest, which stretches from Alaska to Nova Scotia at the very top of our continent. In addition, we are now taking on what we believe is the most environmentally destructive industry ever, the big oil industry. And big oil now believes that its future can be secured by a place called Canada's tar sands, which is a place where big oil is literally turning sludge into a type of synthetic oil at great expense, of course, with great energy investments and producing extremely toxic and prodigious amounts of pollution. And we are, once again, going to the primary market for the product that comes out of Canada's tar sands and persuading large companies, Walgreens, Whole Foods, among others, Trader Joe's, to adopt new policies that will take Canada's tar sands out of their transportation footprints. And that's putting pressure on the on big oil to at least begin to understand that they need to do the right thing. Of course, it's going to take a lot more pressure. And then in addition to that, we have the campaign that I briefly mentioned that focuses on the Greenwasher Sustainable Forestry Initiative, because all this good work that we're doing, individual citizens, even some governments and some companies, are doing to protect the environment, that work will be harmed and disparaged and brought into disrepute if pretenders to green work are allowed to get away with their greenwash. So we see exposing greenwash and punishing it, frankly, in the marketplace as a key to a greener planet.
Exposing greenwash is really a very important element of ensuring that this strategy that you've used on so many different campaigns of going to the customer really has long-term resonance, in order that the customer not only chooses to not purchase a certain poorly produced product or destructive product, but actually makes a wise choice about supporting a product that actually is coming from a company or a community that endeavors to really contribute to sustainability. I'm interested really in exploring more about the Sustainable Forestry Initiative. I think the work that Forest Ethics, amongst many other groups, is doing in the tar sands merits a show of its own. I think as well the focus and the understanding of curbing emissions is going to be very important for our society to have any sort of influence over increasing climate disruption. Here on the Redwood Coast, we don't really have to confront the great emitters of pollution or carbon, but we're looking more at situations where the carbon sink is being drained. We're talking about forestry practices depending on real high intensity rotation, lots of clear cutting, and also trying then to hide those practices. Aaron, tell us a little bit about how the Sustainable Forestry Initiative was born and why it's so attractive to companies.
Well, being green is big business now. Anybody who's been to a Whole Foods will get that point immediately. And the market is projected to grow dramatically. Even as big as it already is, it's projected to grow dramatically, so that the total market worldwide will be more than $500 billion in the near future. And companies that want to grow as well in the near and the long future want to position themselves as green, because they want to sell products on the grounds that they're green products, and because they want their brand to be perceived as an environmentally responsible brand. They know that people are increasingly aware that we can't keep doing all the things that we're doing as now the 7 billion people we are. At least we can't keep doing all those things in the same way if we want to survive, if we want our planet to survive. So companies want to portray themselves as being part of helping the planet survive, helping people live better, which means a healthy environment. And they have developed aggressive marketing programs to portray themselves as green, even when they are not. And the Sustainable Forestry Initiative actually began as an out-and-out marketing program for an organization called the American Forest and Paper Association. This is a collection, a trade association, of the world's biggest corporate forest destroyers, big logging companies like Weyerhaeuser and Sierra Pacific Industries and Plum Creek Timber and others that knew that their products would sell better if they could convince those that buy them that those products are green. So they developed this name, the Sustainable Forestry Initiative, and they developed a little logo, the SFI logo, with a cute little green tree illustration on it, and they began to market the products of these big logging companies as approved by the Sustainable Forestry Initiative. Over time, then, the SFI, as the organization became known by its acronym, the SFI began to learn from a real and genuine and very responsible forest protection organization called the Forest Stewardship Council, known as the FSC. And so the SFI wanted to mimic and adopt, at least apparently, many of the same systems that the FSC had that made it successful and is making a real difference on the ground in our forest to protect them. So the SFI developed a board for itself. They became an independent nonprofit organization. They promulgated, they created and published standards that, if you don't read them too closely, sound like they might be interested in forest protection. And they developed a system that ostensibly provides third-party verification that companies following the SFI system are, in fact, complying with it. The problem is that even though the form has changed, and even though the system on paper looks similar to other certification programs, to other forest protection programs, there's nothing behind the paper except the same big logging companies, the same big forest destroyers that started the SFI and that created it as a marketing ploy. And those same companies are the primary funders. They're the primary sources of money for the SFI, so they call all the shots. They control the board. They direct the money, and it's really primarily the products of those big logging companies that are being approved and the operations of those big logging companies that are being approved by the SFI.
So the SFI then, by approving the operations of a company such as Sierra Pacific Industries, is essentially giving a green seal of approval to these companies?
Not just to these companies. They use that seal in the way that they want to use it to make themselves look green. But the SFI is specifically approving very horrendous forest destruction on the ground and allowing its seal of approval to be used on products that come from that horrendous forest destruction. Every product has a story. And if you learn the story of that product, if it's a wood product or a paper product, it goes back to a forest or to something that's not a forest but has lots of trees in it called a tree farm. And if you look at the practices in that forest or in that tree farm, you're going to know the environmental story of that product. And the SFI is approving the most destructive, horrendous, irresponsible forest product stories that there are.
And I think it's that story of the forest product that is of most importance to listeners here on the North Coast of California in understanding what the implications are of the Sustainable Forestry Initiative and this effort to put a green seal of approval on practices that don't really meet true parameters of sustainability. Aaron, I'm wanting our listeners to know from you why it is that anyone here on the North Coast would want to know exactly which companies it is that are attempting to cover their practices with this somewhat questionable, if not incredibly questionable, seal of approval provided by the Sustainable Forestry Initiative.
Well, you want to learn the story of any forest product, that is, any wood-based or paper-based product, because ultimately that is the story of some forest somewhere. Even if it comes from a tree farm, which is not a forest, it's a row crop. It's like wheat or corn or soybeans. It's all one plant, planted in rows and heavily fertilized with chemicals and heavily treated with chemicals to prevent other plants from competing with those trees. And then, of course, you've got chemicals applied to fight what the industry would consider to be unwanted insects. And then you have mechanized industrial harvesting of those trees, which results in massive soil erosion and definitely harms the quality of drinking water, ultimately, you're talking about impact on forests, even with a tree farm, because many of those tree farms replaced forests that were originally there and are no longer there. The forest industry has, in many places, progressively turned forests into these row crops, and that's true there in Northern California as well. And you're talking about impacts from that tree farm operation, that industrial wood or paper factory on the ground, that do affect forests, because forests are affected by water quality that goes down. They're affected by landslides that are made possible by the kinds of logging that goes on in those industrial tree farm operations.
My name is Gary Graham Hughes. I'm the executive director at the Environmental Protection Information Center, and I have Aaron Sanger from Forest Ethics as a guest on this, the Eco News Report, the North Coast Environmental Center show with KHSU.
So you want to know the story of any forest product so that you can know the story of the forest that is affected by that product. And we don't have all the choices that we want in the world. We don't have as many choices as we want to use products that have no impact at all on forests. A lot of times what we have is the choice between a product that has less impact and a product that has more impact. And so you want to get to know the story of that forest product so that you can choose the product that has less forest impact. In the case of the SFI approved forest product, well, you want to get to know that story because you're going to find in all but the most exceptional cases that SFI approved product is linked to the kind of forest destruction that you want to help stop. And one of the ways that you can help stop that kind of forest destruction is by exposing the falsity, the misleading nature of this phony green seal that the SFI is putting on that product. And that story is going to lead you back to destruction right there and on the Redwood Coast by companies like Sierra Pacific Industries and Green Diamond.
Green Diamond, formerly known as Simpson, also has a manufacturing branch now called the California Redwood Company. I mean, just in the simple disassociation that's being attempted there from what's happening on the ground with the product that a customer might consider on the shelves tells you that they're actually trying to do something to confuse the customer. And then to go so far, Green Diamond, in their efforts to use the Sustainable Forestry Initiative to put a green seal of approval on the products, to know that on a national level this is being brought into question is something that people living here locally should be highly sensitive to and concerned about. Also, Sierra Pacific Industries is a company that has attempted to use the Sustainable Forestry Initiative to also put a green seal of approval on their practices. These are companies whose practices do raise a lot of questions at home. And then at the same time, the public here living on the north coast of California will be given the assurances that their practices are actually considered okay because of the use of certification scheme like SFI. But you've said several times, Aaron, that SFI is a fraudulent certification scheme, that they're engaging in greenwashing. I mean, how can we be fully confident in your critique? What is it that really drives home for you the evidence that SFI is really nothing more than a false green seal of approval for destructive forest products?
I think the proof is on the ground. You know, you can get some indication of that from the fact that 21 environmental organizations have challenged the Sustainable Forestry Initiative's misleading marketing, which, by the way, is being done primarily by the big companies benefiting from it. So the biggest promotion that you will see of the SFI will come from companies like SPI. And the reason that these 21 environmental organizations have challenged SFI is that they believe that there are too many and too close financial ties between the logging industry and SFI, so that the fox is essentially guarding the hen house. They believe that the forest protection standards, so-called forest protection standards of the SFI, are essentially bogus. They believe that even if they were strong enough, that those standards have no substance. They're just pieces of paper because there's no system for it making sure that any company follows the standards on the ground. And they believe that that the so-called third-party verification system used by the SFI is a joke, with examples such as two inspectors supposedly responsible for an area the size of the state of Pennsylvania. And, of course, they didn't find any problems there because there's no way they could have gone everywhere they needed to go to inspect the places that they were supposed to be inspecting. This is a misleading and contentless program that is purely a marketing ploy for big forest destroyers. And one good example of the problem is the most popular type of label that the SFI has is the certified sourcing label. And many consumers are not very educated about what that means, but many consumers who want to know the story of a product, and they understand that wood product or that paper product doesn't come from the store, it actually comes from a forest, and they want to trace that story all the way back to the forest or to the impacted forest involved, they know that that means that you have to know what we call the chain of custody. So you have to know that the piece of wood comes from a sawmill in a particular place and that that sawmill gets its logs from a particular forest. Same with paper, that paper comes from a particular pulp mill or paper mill and that pulp mill or paper mill gets its raw material from particular forests or tree farms that affect forests. And the SFI label, the certified sourcing label, doesn't require chain of custody tracing. So let me tell you a story. I got a call from a Canadian reporter. This Canadian reporter was doing an investigative report on a forest in Canada. I'm not going to tell you where it is. But they wanted to do an investigative report. And they were concerned about the reports that they were seeing that the SFI puts its label or allows its seal of approval to be used on products that come from really horrendous and irresponsible activities in forests. And so what they wanted to do is they wanted to take a product that had that SFI logo on it, and they wanted to trace that product back to the forest where it came from. And I told the reporter, well, there's one large problem with that plan. This label that you're telling me about doesn't require tracing the story of the product from its, you know, from your desk all the way back to the forest where it came from. It doesn't require it, so you won't be able to do that. And I don't think you're going to be able to do your investigative story that way. And she was appalled. The reporter was aghast. She couldn't believe it. And we went through a lot of the fine print of the many, many words in the SFI standards and protocols and rules for applying their standards. And she realized it. And when she realized it, she was very upset. And this is a person who gave the SFI program credit for having content it doesn't have. So this is a big reason that you don't want, you know, you do want to know the story and you don't want to trust the SFI to be any indication of what the story is. And in California, Gary, you're more aware of the specific examples of forest destruction that SFI is approving so that companies like SPI and Green Diamond can mislead the public about it. So it'd be better for you to talk about that.
Well, I think this allows us to just briefly touch on what I think is a very important element of this line of work. And what I think is really interesting, Aaron, is to talk about this kind of collaboration that EPIC has with Forest Ethics. As we go about investigating, monitoring the activities of companies like Green Diamond / Simpson and demonstrating that there are watersheds within their holdings that within the space of 20 years that they will be clear-cutting 60% or even more of the entire watershed. And clearly, there's nothing sustainable about that whatsoever. But we have a company here that's trying to cover their behavior with a fraudulent seal of approval, the Sustainable Forestry Initiative. So how does it help Forest Ethics to have a group like EPIC giving you some of this information about what a company like Green Diamond is doing on the ground?
Well, it helps us illustrate the problem. We know that the SFI program lacks independence from the industry that is using it to mislead the public. We know that the SFI program lacks strong enough standards. And we know that it doesn't have an adequate verification program or verification system that it's actually doing what it says it's doing. And so that is what makes it a false and misleading program, because it says that it does all those things and has all those things. It says that it's truly independent. It's not. And it says that it's good for us and good for our forests, and it isn't good for either us or our forests. But a picture, well, an experience, even without a picture, is more eloquent support for that than any analysis that we might give of the program and its weaknesses. And when you go to places like those on the Redwood Coast and you see the kind of irresponsible behavior, irresponsible because it imperils communities, human communities, water quality, wildlife, and of course imperils the survival of some beautiful and precious forest systems. When you see that and you know that that's being marketed as green by the SFI program, then that's very helpful in communicating the problem on a national stage, and that's where it needs to be communicated. These companies have a lot of influence in the local communities, in fact, probably more than they should have in many places, but they really care more about their national image than they do about the local communities, because it's their national image that is the vehicle to their market share, to the growth that they want as a company. And so if they are being exposed as greenwashers on the national stage, they'll be very concerned about that. And the threat of being exposed as greenwashers on a national stage will sometimes be much more of an incentive for them to change their behavior than any amount of local pressure.
Well, and that's exactly why we're very excited to be collaborating with you, Aaron, and your organization, Forest Ethics, from here on the north coast of California, for the Environmental Protection Information Center to be able to get some national leverage on these companies, and especially leverage that touches them where most they can begin to feel it and perhaps change their behavior in their pocketbook. And we will definitely continue to share our advances on this, of the Sustainable Forestry Initiative. So we do encourage everyone to stay abreast of this and stay tuned to more updates on this work. I do encourage everyone to check out the website of Forest Ethics. That's forestethics.org. Of course, EPIC's website is wildcalifornia.org. Aaron, I'd love to have a couple last words from you for our listening audience about how they can be attentive to these types of greenwashing strategies, both with SFI and within other elements of the forest products industry or other industries.
Well, you need to look for the SFI logo. And when you start looking for it, you're going to be appalled, you're going to be disturbed, you're going to be upset about how widespread it is and how common it is. It's very easy to get this logo. Essentially, you just have to buy it. So when you find a product with that logo on it, take it to the party selling the product and ask them, do you know anything about this program? And you can go to our website and you can get some details from our website that you can use to educate the seller of that product about the misleading SFI program. And I think also you want to educate the seller of that product about the problem of being perceived as a greenwasher, because people get this. They may not know about certification. They may not know about things like chain of custody, but they do know about lying, and they know they don't like it. And we've seen so many examples of public figures who pretend to be one thing and we find out they're another. And companies are the same way, and so are products. When a product pretends to be green and it's not, it's a lie. It's a lie for that product to pretend to be green. So you can point out to the seller of that product that they're participating in a kind of misleading marketing and ask them to contact the maker of that product and express their concern about what you've told them. There are many other things that we can do, and in particular, I hope that EPIC and Forest Ethics will work to bring the kind of focused attention to the SFI that we were able to bring to the folks in Burlington, Vermont. And I hope that maybe there'll be a chance for us to tell the story of how the local folks in Burlington worked with Forest Ethics to get a national stage for some forest destruction problems up in the northeastern part of the United States. Again, forest problems caused and being promoted, being greenwashed by big companies approved by the SFI.
Aaron Sanger from Forest Ethics. Aaron, thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate your time and your expertise.
Thanks, Gary.
This has been the Eco News Report, and my name is Gary Graham Hughes from the Environmental Protection Information Center, EPIC, and I've been your host for the past half hour. I was speaking with Aaron Sanger of the organization Forest Ethics. If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under Archived Programs at khsu.org. The Eco News Report is produced for KHSU, located at Humboldt State University, in cooperation with the North Coast Environmental Center. Please join us again next Thursday at 1:30 here on KHSU for the Eco News Report.